The quick review, I'm only going to do one page review, is in January, Sherry and I were at the Kenneth Copeland's Ministers Conference. Only ministers are allowed to go through those doors, and you have to have an invitation, and the place only sits about 2,000, so when I get my invitation, I send it off RSVP right away. Now, other things in my life, I'm not too good on RSVP, but that one. And while we were at the conference, they had just wonderful men and women of God that were ministering, and I loved it. All I had to do is walk in and have a seat. For me, wow! Because Sunday morning, who'd I meet at the door? Brian, back door, unlock the back door, go to the front door, check the lights, da-da-da-da-da. So when I get to go someplace, and all I have to do is walk in, right there, woohoo, hallelujah. So we had walked in, we got our seats, and Jerry Savelle, so I'm giving you the review, because you missed it, but Jerry Savelle shared a prophecy that the Lord had given him several years ago for himself and for the body. So last week I explained a little bit of what prophecy is. Interesting, 1 Corinthians 13, chapters 11, 12, 13, 14. It talks about prophecy 22 times. I didn't count. I read somebody else's account. All right, 22 times. Well, I have a hunch it's important. So everybody say, it's important. If it's written 22 times, it's important, okay? Now, prophecy is not fortune-telling. All right, and there are a lot of nuts, fruits, and flakes out there that just break all the rules. Prophecy is always, But prophecy, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, says it is the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. You need to write that down, slap it on your mirror. It is the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. All right, it also is for the benefit of the church. It could be individually, and I gave you some funny examples of me where someone had given me a prophecy. I've been after you like a dog to a new pan. I was like, whoa. And it's also for the body. Kenneth Copeland right now has been got a placed in his heart a prophetic word for the body of Christ for 2013, and it's called what? The year of great grace. Am I the only one who heard that? Okay. All right. Now, prophecy is always EEC. Okay. Who remembers what EEC is? All right. Let's do it together. Encouragement, edifying, and comfort. EEC. That's how you check out the, and throw out the nuts, fruits, and flakes. All right. If you get something that's just doesn't EEC, out the door. Acts 21, hop over there with me, please. Acts 21, I'm just going to give just brief some places in the Bible where you'll see it. Acts 21, EEC. Now, I could probably write a paragraph about what prophecy, but if I were to get you just to stay focused in the simplicity, all right, that's it. Acts 21, verse 9. Oops, I'm on the wrong. Let me get over there. Acts 21, verse 9. Paul is on a bunch of stops and journeys, and he stops at verse 8, and then he went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. Verse 9, and he had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. That meant they did EEC. They were encouraging, edifying, and comforting the body of Christ. All right? Another place just down the next verse. And during Paul's stay, several days, a man came, Agabus, also had the EEC. Look at that. He had the gift of prophecy. So he was used of the Lord to encourage, edify, and comfort. All right. As I thought about prophecy, besides it's encouraging and edifying people. Anybody need a couple of those some days? All right. All right. Yeah, both hands. Thank you, Bob. The rest of you just live in perfect la-la land. No, I'm kidding. All right. But it also, and I thought back in my life, why would God have spoken a prophetic word in my life, aside from EEC, to encourage, edify? Okay, you want to hear what he said to me? Basically, you needed some stirring up. Your pond was a little stagnant. Think about it. And it needed a little stirring to get some life in there. And God loves you so much that many times he'll have someone give you an EEC, all right? And if you don't get an EEC, you must have a stirred up pond that's producing life. So you're like, okay. Because I used to go to meetings and they would call Anita out, and a gentleman or a woman would say, Anita, the Lord would say, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, darn, they never call me out. And the Lord says, well, you didn't need any stirring. Your pond was thriving and growing and fish were swimming, all right? And I was like, oh, okay. So, but the last thing I want to say about prophecy, because that really is nothing to do with my message. This is just laying groundwork. The last thing I want to say is that we should not take it lightly. And we have a responsibility, all right? Not take it lightly. 1 Timothy chapter 1, hop over there. This is still last week's message, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This is Paul, and he's going to talk about prophecy. And he's talking, and it goes like this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my dear son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words EEC that had been spoken to you. So Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's called the son of his, excuse me. I have another translation. What does it say in yours? Son in the Lord. That's not it. Anyway, I'll get to that. That's minor. But Paul is stirring up, reminding Timothy that prophecies had been spoken to him, and he needs to not take them lightly, but he needs to remember them because they are sent to aid in his warfare. And some of you go, you are not kidding. It is a warfare. And some days in my house, some days on my job, some days just down Route 30, okay? So there is a seriousness about prophecy, and there's a responsibility about when a prophetic word is giving that you need to take responsibility and do something. Okay, that's last week. Now we're going to go to this week. You ready? I'm going to read this prophecy because this is what kicked it off. Jerry Savelle, a prophecy that God had given to him for the body. I will do for you what you have tried to do yourself but could not do. Anybody have a list of things you've tried to do for yourself but you could not do? I will cause them to come to pass, those things which you have strived for and tried to accomplish in your own strength. Anybody do some things in your own strength? Oh, Lord. All right? And in your own might, but you just could not make them happen. I will bring them to pass for you. Extraordinary things will become the norm in your life. Things that never happened to most people in a lifetime will begin to happen to you in 1 year's time. It's time to expect the extraordinary. I made a copy of this. Rod, where's Rod? Rod? Oh, they're downstairs. Okay, Rod's got copies. If you want it, you can grab a copy of that. It wasn't so much the little words of this prophecy. It was the big word that the Lord started dealing with me in my life, because when I read this over and over again, especially the part that says, extraordinary things will become the norm in your life, it's time to expect the extraordinary. And the Lord corrected me and he says, you have stopped expecting my word, which is extraordinary. You have stopped. Now, not everything. I'm not a royal backslider, okay? But the Lord started picking little fuzzies off my sweater of life and said, this one, you have stopped expecting me to move. So I took the correction, and I started looking at things in my life. And all week long, I was like, the Lord would go, I'm like, oh, okay. So, but before we go again, it says to expect the extraordinary. Expect, expect. Expect means to keep looking, keep looking. Matter of fact, why don't you look high instead of down at your feet? Some people are just looking and they can't understand why nothing's going right. Looking at your feet, you're going to walk into the wall. All right? I remember one time I had company over and I thought the sliding glass door was open and I was carrying a tray and somebody called my name and I looked at the last minute and went, kapow. You know, what a mess. Because I was not looking or expecting, my focus was in the wrong place. So we need to expect the Word of God to be real. All right? Okay, all right. Secondly, people that go, well, I don't know about expecting extraordinary things, Pastor D. Guess what? You are not going to have it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You have to have your expector. Turn your expector on. Okay, now in children's ministry, I'd be playing with a light switch. See, turn it on, turn it on, turn it on. But I'm not going to do that here. All right. Now, you have to expect what? Now, the prophetic word was extraordinary. The Word and God is extraordinary, but I want to, we did a little, let's do a little review. The word extraordinary means to go beyond common, go beyond common things, go beyond common methods, go beyond the regular course of life, all right? It also means rare, remarkable, uncommon, all right? So those are the things that have to do with extraordinary. Now, so the Lord started picking off the fuzzies off my sweater, and he says, are you expecting extraordinary things with your body, or are you focusing down at your feet? So I took a little correction there. Are you expecting extraordinary things in your finances? Or are you looking down at your feet? Are you expecting extraordinary things with your relationships with people? I'll tell you the end of the story later, because God did extraordinary things with two relationships that the Lord had corrected me that I just was not expecting. I was expecting squat. All right, kept walking into the wall. I started to expect extraordinary things. Man, how about, why don't you expect extraordinary things, the uncommon, the rare things in your workplace? Or are you just on to work every day, right? All right, get excited, get expecting extraordinary things. Okay, turn over to Acts 19 now. And this is the Acts 19. Now, this is a story of Paul, Paul the Apostle. Personally, I think Paul the Apostle is kind of an extraordinary kind of guy, don't you? Yeah, I remember Jack going, I can't wait till I meet him. Well, he's met him. He's in heaven. But he was an extraordinary kind of guy, a funny kind of guy. Extraordinary, uncommon, rare, remarkable things happened in the ministry of Paul. And yet, Verse 19, 11. And God gave Paul the power to do unusual, uncommon, extraordinary, rare miracles. So here's Paul. Up until this point, I would have been happy. He prayed for people and they got delivered. He prayed for people, they got healed. He prayed and shook off a snake and it didn't die. He didn't die. He had regular, listen to this, in his ministry, he had regular, common miracles happen. Man, shoot, most of us just want to be sitting there. And yet, God did a new thing, the next verse, in Paul's life, where he had extraordinary, extraordinary, beyond even the common Paul's ministry. Oh, you're so quiet. Jeez, I can't get it. Okay, what was going on? Paul, they would take a piece of cloth, aprons, handkerchiefs, that was on Paul's body, and they'd go lay it on someone who was sick or demon-possessed, and they would get healed, and the demons would leave. And he says these were unusual, uncommon, woo, in Paul's ministry then. God started doing a new thing. And you know what, to me, that said? Number one, the greater one lives in me, so it can happen in me. And number two, Paul's notch got higher. Most of us would have been just tickled pink living the regular Joe Schmo life of Paul. And God says, well, I'm going to take it up a notch. And now, unusual miracles at the hand of Paul, because they would take these cloths and lay people. Oh, crazy, wonderful, wonderful. Guys, it's not just for back then, it's today. But if you don't expect, well, we'll just have the norm. All right, now. I expect extraordinary things in my life. Say that. I expect extraordinary things in my life. Now, one reason is I need some extraordinary things in my life. But more important, it's not always about you. Matter of fact, it's more important, it's about other people. So when you have extraordinary things, the rare, the uncommon, the remarkable, great, it happened to my life, but it's also important to the other people around you. So, you know, I always say it's not about you anymore. The day you got saved, next, it's about others, all right? So it's very important to have expecting extraordinary things. All right, now, turn over to Acts 3. The whole book of Acts was the beginning of the church, and they had nonstop experiencing extraordinary things. All right, Acts chapter 3, I'm reading out of the New Living. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Gosh. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Underline this next part. Each day he was put beside the temple gates, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple each day. Each day this would happen, okay? And when Peter and John were about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at him eagerly, expecting a gift. Expecting extraordinary. But Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Then Peter took the man by the right hand, helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Okay, now, every day, normal, this guy who was lame, couldn't walk, right, was plopped there, and every day people would walk in and out. If you went there every day, you saw him sit there every day begging for alms, every day, every this day, next day, every normal routine. I am chucking words at you. I want you to shake your brain, okay? Normal routine every day, all right? Now, that's sort of like the old boy Roy. Oh, there's old Roy. He's here every day begging. And you know, when you have normal every day, you just kind of walk by. Just walk by. You don't even see it. All right, they don't even see it. But you know, that's old Roy. He's the beggar man, all right? So people walked by, and it was no surprise to see Roy, the beggar man, sitting there every day begging, alms, all right? But one day, Peter and John came through the date. Peter and John came through the gate, and he was going to have a date. No, Peter and John came through the date. The gate. Gee, ha. Okay, and here's old Roy, the beggar man, reaching out his hand, begging alms. And Peter and John, they give him a command. Look at us. Now, this is where the story turns. They commanded him to look upon Peter and John. And the beggar was like, oh. Right then, he's expecting. He's just not, oh, they're walking by me every single day. Man, no one ever gives me any money. I can't, alms for the poor. As soon as Peter and John said, look, his hand reached out expecting, all right? Now, I have been in third world countries. The only time I went to Burma, we got picked up at the airport in this minivan with a bunch of other people, and these beggar babies, are, and we're in traffic up to our eyeballs, and they are pounding with their hands on the bus, reaching that you would give them something. So I have seen beggars reach, but, you know, they'd run banging on the bus, and finally we were away, and then they'd get to the next one, all right? And I was mortified. I was probably sobbing in my chair. For the driver, it was everyday, normal, common, all right? But on that day, when Peter and John said, look, this beggar boy Roy reaches out his hand and he is now expecting. And what had happened? Okay, let me run back here. What happened? What verse are we on? I don't know. Look at us. And the lame man looked eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And his hand is out. They grab his hand, yank him up. He's healed. Whole man, miraculous miracle. Because he was expecting. All right, folks, there can be a zillion billion prophecies given out, but I got something. This is the Word of God. And when you read it, you need to apply expecting extraordinary in your normal, everyday places and people that you run into. And I'll tell you about the rest of mine at the end of the story. Okay. All right, now, this could have been just good enough. All by itself, beggar boy Roy got healed, and he's dancing and praising in the temple. But that's not God's heart. Just God's big and greedy. He is not just about one person. This story is about multitudes. Because it said, the people that every day saw beggar boy Roy, all of a sudden they see him leaping and dancing and praising God, and they're like, whoa, something must have happened. Look, that's not normal, beggar boy Roy, is it? Okay, the unexpected, extraordinary catches people's eyes. We need some people's eyes catched. Don't point fingers, D. Okay, all right, calm down. It would have been fine for a beggar boy Roy, but you know what? God's not about just one person, okay? This miraculous, extraordinary thing affected 5,000. Say, Pastor D, where the heck did you get that number? Did you exaggerate? No, I did not. Keep reading. Okay, now in verse 9, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And they realized extraordinary. They realized he was beggar boy Roy and had so often been at the beautiful gate. And they were absolutely astounded. Sound like an extraordinary word? It is. It's one of those adjectives that go with it. Astounding. All right. All those people that were there every day, all of a sudden, got their neck adjusted and they were focused. They said they saw and they heard what God had done. And everybody stood in awe and wonderful things that had happened. Verse 12, Peter saw, oh, I love this. Peter saw this as an opportunity to preach the gospel. All right? That's the dinner bell. When you have extraordinary things, take the opportunity and tell people why. And he did, man. Peter just jumped in and gave them the whole beginning to the end of the cross. And verse, okay, chapter 4. Now they're making such a commotion now. We got this guy jumping and praising God. And I think he's still doing it while Peter's preaching. I can just imagine. I don't think he sat down for a second. And Peter preaches and tells them who Jesus is. And it was Jesus. It was not Peter. He says it was Jesus who did this miraculous. And then flip over. Verse 4, Acts 4, 4. But many of these people who heard their message believed, so that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Don't you think God is so behind you all expecting extraordinary things? Because it's not going to just stop with you. God's got this thing bigger than you, and you need to raise your expectations, okay? And just go with it. All right? All right, now. You could say when you have an expectancy for beyond the common and then the extraordinary happens, that is a real good tool for evangelism. 5,000 people got born again. That is a real good tool. Now listen, folks, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that dwelled in Peter and John and Paul, still is in you, all right? And that tool, that life, that miraculous ability is in you. You have to, though, start with an expectancy for the extraordinary and do your part, all right? Now, don't go crazy on me right this second. Hang in here. All right. Now, there's only one thing you have to do. God commands. I just love it. Now I get the thing. God commands only one thing. He says, only believe. He didn't say you have to have a doctorate in theology. He didn't say you have to have this many hours under your belt. He said the only thing to have an expectancy for the extraordinary is to believe. All right, now turn over to Mark chapter 5. Are you having fun? Okay, this is the story of Jesus, Jairus, and the woman with the issue of blood. All right, Mark chapter 5. Starting in verse 21. Mark 5:21. When Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. She's about to die. He said in desperation, "Please come, place your hands on her, heal her so that she can live." Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged behind. And there was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for about 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay for them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had grown worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind through the crowd and touched the fringe of his garment. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel that she had been healed. Jesus realized at once healing power had gone out from him. I could preach 25 sermons out of that whole part there, all right? But I won't. And he said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciple said, "What are you, kidding? Who touched me?" But he kept looking around. Okay, I'm going to jump down to 34. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You are healed." Okay, verse 35. And while he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from Jairus' home with the message, Your daughter is dead. There's no troubling the teacher now. Now, notice that Jesus didn't turn around to Jairus and say, oh, gosh, Jairus, I'm really sorry. We kind of got hung up on the way. That woman with the issue of blood. Man, sorry, we ran out of time. Oh, well, have a good life. It didn't shake Jesus up by the natural report, did it? No. Now, who was a little shooken up? Jairus, all right? And what does Jesus say to him? Don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. Continue expecting the extraordinary. And listen, guys, that was the command that Jesus gave Jairus. And it produced, right? It's still the command today. Don't be afraid, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Now listen, I know a bunch of me here, you know, and I've got stuff going on in my life, and you got stuff going on in your life, and you're like, whoa, Pastor D, you just don't understand. Jesus will point his finger at you, and he'll say, only believe. Keep expecting me for extraordinary. If you turn the light out, and you know, some people, well, I just can't stand what's going on. OB, only believe. OB. You know those bumper stickers on the back of the car? Okay, now I'm not always as sharp as the next guy next to you, but I'd see the oval white stickers on the back of cars, and OXB, and I was like, what does that one mean? You know, Ocean City or the Outer Banks, OXB, or I was like, it took me a long time to figure it. I still run across them. What does that mean? I need the whole thing spit out. But this one, you need a sticker that says OB, only believe X, extraordinary. I'm going to get one of those, and this time I know what it is. Some of you just need one of those stickers to remind you, only believe, expect the extraordinary. Amen. So now you know, I don't know what they mean. All right. What is God commanding us today? O-B-X. All right. Still the same. Genesis, the story of Sarah. Sarah, God shows up on the scene and Sarah, all right. God shows up on the scene knowing, God who is all-knowing, already knows that it's impossible for this woman to have a baby at the 100, whatever, how old she was, right? God shows up on the scene. He knows all this. And what does he say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, guys, I know there's things at life and work and home. And you just have to say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. In Luke 1, with God, all things are possible. So O-B-X, only believe, expect, expectancy. X-X. All right. All right. So chuck that excuse out, right? Now, so our question shouldn't be, can God do it? Can God do extraordinary things in my life? Will God do extraordinary things in my life? That should not be your question. All right. Never, never, never. All right, your question should be is, how do I get into the place of receiving extraordinary things? Okay, that should be our question. How do I get to the place where I'm receiving? All right, here's your answer. You have to plant a seed. All right, back in Genesis 1, it's always been this way. This is God's ways, law's ways. Okay, I got to read it to you. Genesis 1:29, and God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and all the land and every tree with seed in it, and you shall have them for fruit. You know what that means? It means that trees will produce by seeds. It means that if you want an apple tree, you have had to plant an apple seed. Now, I know they can graft them in, but just go basic with me, all right? All right, some of you are like, if you want to eat tomatoes, you have to plant tomato seeds. All right? You have to plant extraordinary seeds. It's God's ways. I mean, there's so many analogies and examples of seed, time and harvest, and sowing this and you'll reap this. But guys, it's the same thing here. If you will plant extraordinary seeds and expect, you will reap extraordinary. All right, I'm going to give you a Bible story. I read it with this in mind, and I'd read this thing. I'd acted this thing out with kids, and I was like, whoa, this lady, she planted a seed, an extraordinary, not a doubt seed, not God can't seed. All right, okay, I'm getting my headset. Turn to 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings. And while you're doing that, I need some water here. So if you want extraordinary, extraordinary, uncommon, beyond the normal, rare, incredible, amazing, you're going to have to plant it. 2 Kings 4. Okay, 2 Kings 4. Sorry. This is a particular person whose life was a mess, and she was willing to do something uncommon. Actually plant an extraordinary seed, the uncommon, and she got extraordinary results. All right, verse 1. One day, the widow of one of Elijah's fellow prophets came to Elijah and cried out to him, "My husband died who served you." All right, and you know he feared the Lord. But now, a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can you do to help me? Anybody ever pound on God's door? God, what are you going to do to help me? All right. And Elijah asked, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" All right. What do you have that's ordinary that will become extraordinary? And what did she have? She had a little jar. And I knew it was only a little bit, because if she had a big jar, she could have sold it and paid her debt. So it must have been a little jar with a little bit of oil, right? Okay, so she had a jar with oil in it. Now, verse 4. I better do verse 2, sorry. What can I do to help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Nothing except a flask of oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons, shut the door behind you, and pour olive oil from the flask into the jars, setting the jars aside as they are filled. And okay, well, I won't read the rest of the part here. Now, this is the man of God. And he tells her, what do you have? And she says, I have this little smidgen. And he gives her very specific directions. And he says, don't go borrow a few. I always like it when they write it backwards. So what they're really saying is, go borrow a bunch. I don't like, that's like those stickers. Come on, guys, help me out. So don't go borrow a few. Go borrow as many as you can get your hands on. That was her directions. So she starts knocking on the door of her neighbors. Do you have any empty jars? Can I have them? Do you have any empty jars? Can I have them? Do you have any empty jars? Can I have them? And doesn't say how long or how many. Now, I have this one particular Snoopy neighbor in my neighborhood. And Mr. Sapolsky. And if anything happens, he's out the window and on your front lawn. If he thinks something's happening, he's there. So he would have been, well, what do you want him for? Why do you want them? All right, now this is a woman who is in crisis. And you probably, when you get in crisis, you probably checked all your, I don't care what anybody thinks, and that's all you don't care, all right? So he's like, well, what do you want all them for? And she probably says, well, my husband died, and I'm in debt, and the creditor's coming to take repo everything I have and my two sons. And the man of God told me to go borrow as many empty pots as I can, because then I'm going to go back in my house, shut the door, go in my bedroom with my two sons, and I'm going to fill up all these bottles, and everything will be fine. So then your neighbor not only thinks you're unusual, but they think you're nuts, right? But you know what? She don't care anymore. She's in a crisis. And she's ready to do the rare and the uncommon, all right? All right? So you just got to, you know. Okay. So she goes and borrows. And the wonderful thing is that she comes back to her house, shuts the door, and starts pouring oil into this one and that one. And then she's pouring oil, and she goes, "Hey, little Sammy, do you have any more?" "No, Ma, we're all done." "Oh, okay." And then she runs to the prophet, and she says, "We did what you said, and we filled up all these jars, and now there's no more pouring." And he says, "Go pay your debt." Now, right there, that would have been good. How many of you would like to pay your mortgage off? One day, boop, pay your debt. But God does extraordinary things above you dare, ask, believe. He says, now you can live off the rest. The rest of your life. You got it. That's extraordinary. All right, but she had to plant a seed. All right, she had... Her responsibility was to only believe, expect, plant a seed. She had to go knocking on neighbor's house. Shoot, I don't even like to do that. I just like, oh, I'm going to borrow some sugar. One day I hemmed and hawed about knocking on one of my neighbors to borrow sugar. You know, what are they going to? Listen, whew, praise God. Praise God, guys. When you will plant seeds for extraordinary things. I'll get my mortgage made off and I won't have to work the rest of my life. Wouldn't that be a Jim Dandy, all right? Now, remember, if you're not expecting anything extraordinary, you're not going to have extraordinary happen in your life. All right, so this is where the Lord, not you, started talking to me about things in my life that weren't producing. And he said, "You're not expecting." Ah, you're right. So all this lasts, this is like a month into this now. I've been looking at things, all right? Now, if you're not willing to do something out of the ordinary, then you're not going to have anything extraordinary. If you're not willing to do things out of the ordinary, out of your routine... I remember one time, I got to change the names here. Would you like to do such and such on this day? Oh, no, that's the day I always do, clean my house. I was like, for real? You want to go see Joyce Myers and this is the day you always clean your house? For real? Stop doing your routine and your ordinary and hop in my car and we're going to go see Joyce Myers because something extraordinary might happen. So we might have to stop doing our ordinary routine things. All right? All right, just a little push. Did I push you too far? All right, now. All right. Let's see. How do I do this? I have one more scripture. Let's see. Can I fit this in? All right. I'm just going to wrap up here. We are commanded to do what? Only believe. Believe, and you also have a responsibility. Not only with prophetic words that are EEC, but the Word of God, you have a responsibility to expect and do some things, all right? Only believe. Now, so this past week, I had two particular relationships that were really gone south and sour. And I just left them by the wayside. Matter of fact, I locked them in the cellar and threw the key away. But, you know, the Lord's been talking to me. You need to expect extraordinary in these two relationships. Oh, for crying out loud, I don't feel like it. What, they're a pain in my butt. God, don't you know all the things that's happened? Only believe. Well, they can remain a pain in your butt, D, unless you start expecting extraordinary things. And you need to plant an extraordinary seed. So I murmured and complained, and finally, I got quiet, was reading my Bible and praying and looking so glorious and religious, and this voice says, "I want you to do this now. I want you to call this person up now." I left them locked in the basement. Don't you know? They're not a part of my life. They're off. So don't argue with God, all right? So I did. I picked up this phone, and I called this particular person who we had a severance, a separating of our ways in communication and relationship, and I thought that was just fine, and it is never fine. Okay, so I called them up, and we started talking. It was a little awkward, and then I could sense, not goosebumps, but I just knew in my spirit that God, because I was obedient to his command, basically love, this is the command to love, love, all right, believe the best, you know, and till I got off the phone, I put it down, I thought, wow, that was extraordinary, that was beyond my wildest dreams, like we're almost buds now, you know, I had two relationships like that. Because I had been praying every morning before I got up, before I put my feet on the bed, off the bed, I would go, I declare, Lord, I am expecting extraordinary things. Watch when you say this. In every area of my life. Those were the ones that I thought were not, but God said, you need, because I'm expecting, you know, in my book, how many of you are expecting money, right? That was the one I was like, money cometh. You know, that was one I was expecting extraordinary things. Not these two things. Shame, shame, Pastor D. But you know what? Then the second phone call. Now, this second one, God actually had them call me. And I had been dodging this person, did not give them my phone number. But you know, nowadays, nothing's safe. So they Google YCF.com, find the church phone number, and call me at church. And I go, hello? And they go, hey, D. I go, who's this? I go, oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. So, oh, and I'm playing stupid, dumb, and not nice, you know. But anyway, the short of the story is that, you know why? I have to say this. This particular person, we have a long history. It's actually one of my sisters. And normally, if things don't go really good, the certain bombs go flying. It's like the sixth letter of the alphabet. And I just had severed that. I was just tired of getting shot. Because I'm just tired of being hurt, Lord. I'm just going to shut them out of my life. I don't care. So, hey, www.ycfy.com, and call me up and stuff like this. And you know what? It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And I'm telling you, family members, you better believe God wants you having relationships, good relationships with your family members. It doesn't start at home. Don't go preaching it out there. I'm like, yes, Lord, you're right. So anyway, we patched that up, and I hung up the phone. I was like, wow, that was astounding. That was amazing. I didn't get shot with F, da, 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 da. And she said, I love you, and I'm praying. Wow, hallelujah. So I am just challenging you. Okay, turn to one more scripture. Okay, I'll give you one more scripture. This Bible's just so full of good things. And that was the funny part. When I heard this prophecy by Jerry Savelle saying, expect extraordinary things, you know, I had my list of extraordinary things that God had been trying to do in my own strength that could not do, that God was going to do in a year's time. I wrote my whole list. And God's doing a whole different list. Okay. Yeah. Listen, I just really want to convince you that God wants to do extraordinary things in your life, and it is to overflow in other people's lives. Because it's ugly out there, and there's a world that even though Jesus has forgiven them all and has made a way for them to come up, they don't know. And when you have extraordinary things happen in your life, you be looking to the right and to the left so you can start preaching and showing or just plain telling them the good things God does. Because the extraordinary things tells people that God's alive. He's incredible. Those are all those adjectives for beyond the normal extraordinary. All right, so that's why. Okay, Colossians 3:1. All right, I'm not there. Colossians 3:1. All right, I could go another hour, but I won't. Okay. Colossians 3:1, since you have been raised to a new life in Christ, stand up if that's you. You can hold your Bible. Now, if I was driving and doing this, I usually have my car wrecks trying to do things at once. But this one, you can do this. Stand up. If you've been raised to Christ, raised to a new life in Christ, that's you, set your sights, your expectancy, on the realities of heaven, where Christ is seated at God's right hand, in the place of honor and power, and let heaven fill your thoughts, thoughts of extraordinary things. All right? Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only on the things down on your earth, where you died. For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ. All right, now. What's this saying is you need to start aiming. You're in Christ, so you need to aim and set your sights. And some of you might have to recalibrate your new scope on your gun. I remember doing this. All right? You might have to recalibrate it and set your sights on heaven where Christ is seated. And you know what? If Christ is seated in heaven and all power and all might has been given to you, then you should be expecting heaven on earth in your life. Isn't that phenomenal? Only believe. So, Father God, I thank you that this word has pierced hearts, Father. They are expecting extraordinary things. And we are people that will now do what people once thought was uncommon. We'll start moving in the miraculous. And many will hear and see and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? It starts at home. Right? All right. I don't know how to end this, man. I was like,